Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, better known as FHFA, has approved a new credit scoring model that they say will help those who have traditionally found it difficult to qualify for home mortgages. But with interest rates continuing to rise, as it was announced today, they were going up again, will those credit report changes have the opportunity to have much of an impact? We're going to be talking about those interest rates and this new credit reporting tonight. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you. How is your credit report? What do you know about how your credit report works? Have you heard the news of these changes in terms of credit reporting, especially as it relates to mortgages? And do you have some questions about it? Our expert is in the house tonight. Deborah Owens is our guest. She's an author and wealth coach. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah, as always, thank you so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure to be on with the WHUR fam.
All right, so Deborah, we got to really dive into this and try to make it plain for me, for our listeners. We've got the Federal Housing Finance Agency. They're coming out. They say at the start of this week they're now going to require lenders to use, that use credit scores for mortgages and underwriting. They're going to ask them to use scores from both FICO, right, which most of us know, and a competitor, its former competitor at least, Vantage Score Solutions. So now they want you to use these two. These mortgages tend to be sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They say it's going to help millions to be able to get mortgages because now they're just not going to look at bank loans, but they're going to look at how you pay your phone bills, your water bills, things of this nature. And they say it may help at least like 4 million black folks who are trying to get loans. How can you explain to us how this is going to happen, how this works, why the FHFA did this?
Well, part of it, I think you made it plain, actually.
Okay, and moving on.
I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me. Okay. Well, the reason for the changes is that many people have thin credit, right? And thin credit is maybe I could be non-bank. Bank, you know, and not necessarily have a checking or credit card relationship with a bank, and yet, and I may be of the belief that carrying credit or debt is bad, which is not unusual in the African American, particularly, and so as a result, I pay things with cash. And not knowing that the way the models work is really loan and credit usage. That is how they're basically determining whether or not you're a good credit risk and will pay the money back.
Right.
And you have a number of people who are what's called non-banked. Even though they're paying their utility bills, they're paying their rent on time, and they've done it for years, that those payments were not reflected, right, in the credit scoring model.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you're penalized for being a good steward, as we would look at it in our community, you know, paying with cash.
Right.
And so in order to level the playing field and allow people to get credit for that payment history, the Federal Housing Finance Agency and Fannie Mae, right, these that use these scoring models are saying that they want to expand, and so they're expanding and allowing another credit score model called Vantage Score to come in and now will require lenders to look at It used to be three, right? TransUnion,
right,
that many people are familiar with, Equifax, and Experian.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to look at all three. Now they're saying they only have to look at two of the agencies, and that this credit scoring model now will be more advantageous because it will reflect not only recent payment history, but look back almost 24 months. And that should, in theory, give people who have great payment histories a higher score and therefore be able to have a more competitive interest rate.
Well, you just made it plainer. I think plainer is a word, right? Or is it more plain? We're going to go for either
Make
one.
It plain.
You made it plain, right? And we should note what's interesting is VantageScore actually, you know, it's owned by Equifax and Experian and TransUnion. So it's kind of sort of interesting there. But, you know, the thing what I found interesting also is that, you know, the FHFA and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac said they had been looking at making these changes as far back as 2014. But here we are in 2022. And Deborah, though you laid it out there how it could help those, right, who, you know, may not have had a whole lot of information in terms of bank loans and other financing scores, you know, through the rent payments, utility bills, and phone bills. How about those who have both, right, bank loans and utilities, but maybe they're not that great on, you know, paying their utilities, but they got bank loans? Can it work in reverse in a way where it would hurt folks where that's now being looked at?
Well, I mean, that's certainly something to look at. But I think the whole premise of expanding what types of payment histories are reported really is you've got to look at what's more advantageous,
okay,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the goal. But what I would say that what to just give it like real tangible example, the difference between having excellent credit and good credit could be the difference between you having a 30-year mortgage financed at now, you know, interest rates have went up at 6.5% versus 5.75%. So it's pretty significant how credit scores impact the types of interest rates that you receive, not only on mortgages, but, you know, pretty much any type of credit. So these are real dollars. And now what we see is that with the Fed raising interest rates, we literally have seen 30-year mortgage rates go from 3%,
yes,
to 6%. And now, you know, increasing up to almost 7% in some regards. And so that number in terms of affordability is really impacting people's ability, housing affordability, right? Because of course, the higher the interest rate, the less the amount of loan you're going to qualify for.
Exactly. We're going to get a little bit more, Deborah, into these interest rates going up further down the road in the show. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about credit reports, mortgages, what this means for you, mortgage rates going up. Are you looking to buy a home? Home sales are dropping, probably because interest rates are going up. Do you feel like you missed out and not grabbing that 3% interest rate when it was at that mark? I can say yes to that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah, you know, we mentioned Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and many folks, you know, their mortgages may be running through them, but have no idea what those two big companies do. How could you explain to folks what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac do? What is their purpose in terms of mortgages? How do they play a part in many folks' daily lives?
Well, you know, they are really government-sponsored enterprises. And what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac do is they are basically almost the funding mechanism for most of mortgages, right? You know, you go to a bank, mm-hmm. right, and then you get your mortgage. And typically those mortgages are sold, and where they end up is in government securities, right? So the way I would explain it is you might have a mutual fund, and it's a bond fund, and it says that it's a Ginnie Mae fund. Well, basically those are back are mortgages. And so what ends up happening is your mortgage actually becomes bundled and becomes a security that now investors are using to investors use to get income from, mm-hmm. right? Now, I know that may sound complicated, but it's what I want to say is that they are the agency, what are called government-sponsored enterprises, and what they do really is that they guarantee most of the mortgages made in the U.S., right? So that implicit guarantee is what makes mortgages not like a risky investment, if you will. And what they do is they provide sort of liquidity for banks, so banks don't always have to, you know, manage the payments of their mm-hmm. mortgages. I'm sure you've had it where you bought a mortgage. I mean, you financed a house or bought a new house, and then you look up and you get the letter the very next month. Hey, your mortgage has been sold.
And I got that. That's when I said, well, huh? Especially with your new homeowner going, well, wait a minute. Why'd they do that? You know, so you're learning as you go, yes.
Without a doubt. You absolutely are. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, you may buy a home from a new home developer, right? Like the big homes like Lennar.
Right.
A number of them, and you finance your home through them, and then the very next month you see that your home loan has been sold. And so a lot of times it's simply that they don't want the administration of collecting those mortgages, so they sell it, they take their money off the top, and then they give it to somebody else to manage it in you know, if I were to just think about it not being so complex. But what I would say, what I did want to talk about tonight is that I know, and you alluded to that, man, you know, it's hindsight is 20, you know, 2020 hindsight, looking back and saying, man, I wish I had gotten it at 3%.
Mm-hmm.
But what people have to understand is that these interest rates that we've had for the past several years, they've been really, really low.
Okay.
And the reason why they have been so low is because that's how the Fed was basically stimulating the economy, right? So they continue to lower interest rates because what it does is it makes borrowing cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, you saw people buying more homes, and then you saw people buying a lot of things that they had to finance because it was cheap to do so. But at some point, and this basically is what happened, is you can only go so low. I mean, at one point we were almost at 0%, you know, 0.5% or 1%. So what that meant, our mortgages were only 3%. And so, you know, I know I'm dating myself, but there was a time when mortgages were like 9-10%. You know, that
yes.
wasn't unlikely. And the other point I want to make is that the average person doesn't hold a mortgage for the entire term, whether it be a 15-year mortgage or a 30-year, right? So
right.
You may move. You may buy a new house. And so I think what anyone who is thinking about purchasing a home needs to think about, number one, is affordability. And the reason that we're having this conversation and why credit scores are so important is because of affordability, because the rate of your mortgage will impact the rate of that monthly payment, and that monthly payment is basically how the bank determines whether or not you can afford it.
All right. I know you tried to make me feel better about missing out on that 3%, and it was all so educational. I still don't feel any better about it. I'm sorry, Deborah. I still feel some way about it.
Most people don't, but I say that is that, you know, everything is cyclical. The economy is cyclical. Uh-huh. And if someone is listening to this program and is thinking about, is it too late for me to purchase a home? I want to talk about the other side of the story with interest rates.
Right.
And typically, with interest rates.
Hold your thought, Deborah, because I want you to be able to expound on that, because we got to go to a break real quick. And Shaka, I know you're on the line, so stay right there. We're going to take this break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 app, HD2 app on your smartphone, and hear the program live in its entirety. Shaka, again, we're going to get to you. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR 96.3. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about the two new credit scoring models that's been approved by the FHFA, better known also as the Federal Housing Finance Agency. And we're talking about the interest rates that have gone up, what it may mean for those who are looking to borrow, whether it is to buy a house or what it might mean for your credit card payments. So it's a financial Wednesday. Can't do the alliteration. It's not Friday, but talking finances, always important. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before our guest, Deborah Owens, author and wealth coach, gets to her point about the other side of the interest rates going up, I want to go to the phone lines and get to Shaka, who has been waiting patiently, calling from Virginia. Shaka, go right ahead with your question or comment.
I have a question. The question I have, so this is the question. This is the thing. I'm a young black man, I just turned 33. I don't have no criminal record. I make a good living. I make $57,342 to be exact. I've been trying to buy a house, and I've been trying to apply to the bank, but I'm never late to pay my bills. And like, I just finished pay for my car, $30,000. I never miss a day of a payment. All my bill on point. So why it's so difficult for young black men like me with no criminal record who pay their bill on time? I'm not a perfect person, but it's so hard since I was 20 years old. I've been trying to get a house.
I got you. Stay right there, Shaka. So he's giving you a little information. What do you think, Deborah?
Yeah, so here's what I would say. You know, particularly when you're a first-time home buyer, the process can seem pretty daunting.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really, really encourage, and I would encourage all your listeners who have maybe been wondering how they could afford a house, is that most states have first-time home buyer programs.
Right.
Maryland has them, Virginia has them, and I know the District of Columbia has them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want to encourage all of our listeners to do is to go to their .gov of their state website and just put in the search bar, or you can go to Google and put first time home buyer Virginia or whatever state you're in.
Now, I think Shaka's in Virginia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Virginia. And then to apply to their first time home buyers program, typically what they're going to do is have you go through seminars and have you understand what the qualifications are for mortgages. Many of them have special financing based on your income, and some of them even have down payment home grants.
Hmm.
So my advice, don't go it alone and contact your state's housing agency's first-time home buyer programs.
You got all that, Shaka?
Yeah, can I say something? Yeah.
Sure.
I just entered that program with the Fairfax County government, the first-time home buying program. I've just entered that program, so I have a meeting Monday, next Monday. But the thing is, when I was trying so hard to buy a house, so I couldn't get a house, I end up, because I'm from Africa, so I end up building me a six-bedroom self-contained house in Africa. So, but right now I'm wanting to get a house now because I'm paying rent, which is like $1,900 for one bedroom, one bathroom. So,
what I would say is that you're exactly on the right track to have them walk you through what's the process. And also, typically they have relationships with lenders who are incented to help first-time home buyers. So I just want to say you're on the right track and keep that appointment and do everything that you need to do in order to qualify.
All right. Thank you so much, Shaka, and good luck with your meeting in Fairfax County. Thank you for calling. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about credit reports and interest rates, home mortgages, what these two new credit scoring models, especially for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, may mean for borrowers, and maybe even specifically how it may impact African Americans. Deborah, I wanted to give you a chance to the point you were making before we took a quick break and came over to the SiriusXM Channel 141 side. You were saying that sometimes there's an upside to interest rates going up. Did I hear that correctly?
I know you may have been taken aback.
Oh, yes.
The point is that home prices and interest rates have an inverse relationship. And what I mean by that is when interest rates are going down, it increases demand, right? So, you know, in any market, if you have more buyers, it's going to make the price go up, right? And what we've seen in the last month is mortgage loan applications have decreased by more than 90%.
Wow.
And I just saw there was a bank who was about to lay off a lot of their mortgage brokers as a result because there's not demand.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens when there's not demand? You're going to see home values decrease. And you're already seeing it in many, I know I was looking at new home developments. And they're already cutting their prices, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the silver lining is that as home values go down, and quite frankly, I think and many of the economists felt like the demand was starting to look a lot like 2007. Prior to the 2008 crash,
right.
When, you know, you were going, people were bidding on houses and you were having to, you had like multiple bids and they were $50,000 over, you know, or significantly higher than what the offering price for the house is. So the good news is that, that probably what we are going to see and what we've already seen is these home values come down somewhat. And so that will balance out, if you will, the increased financing or loan rates, and you be able to purchase a home at a lower price than you could just 6 months ago.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah Owens is saying if you're looking to buy a home now, this is probably a good time. If you're looking to sell, you'll probably miss the high point by at least, what do you think, Deborah, about a month or so?
Well, you know what? Here's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, people ask me questions like, well, what's the best time to invest? What's
right.
the best time to, you know, purchase a home? And I say it's when you are, when you feel like, you know, when's the time to invest? When you have the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, even with the market going down, people are, you know, we can look at the stock market. We can look at the housing market. It's like, don't make your decisions based on emotion, right, or certainly you need to consider what's happening, but plan it, right? So if you were thinking of purchasing a home and you had been saving money, and now you're like, oh my goodness, interest rates have gone high, it's gotten away from me, sit back, begin to look at the market and see if you can find values in this market. The issue now is people are less willing to sell because some of them do have those 3% mortgages. And if they were to buy something, they're going to have to finance them at a higher rate.
Right. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. She is Deborah Owen. She's our guest tonight, author and wealth coach, and we'd like you to be part of our conversation tonight. The phone lines are open. Deborah, can you see 10% mortgage rates in our future?
It's interesting. I was just reading an article about that, right? And so, I mean, just based on the fact that the some mortgage rates were already above 6.5% and nearing 7%.
Right.
The Fed just increased the Fed fund rate up another 0.75 point. And so is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. But you know what? That is not the highest that mortgages have ever been in terms of a 10% rate. Basically, what we're seeing are mortgage rates about what they were in 2008 when we had the recession, which is sort of what we're seeing right now.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I mentioned, I kind of alluded to this, Deborah, early on about what the FHFA was saying, that they felt like these two new credit scoring models could help as many as, 10 million borrowers, and they said about 4 million of those 10 million are minorities. And so what does this mean, you think, for African Americans? Can you see that specifically being a positive with this change of just having two credit reports, agencies reporting credit, and now being able, as you mentioned and we both have talked about, using utilities also as a measure of how you're paying your bills?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, the Urban Institute did a report, and, one of the things that was in an article that I was looking at is they did a report, and basically what it showed was that Black and Hispanic Americans are more likely to have no or low credit and are more likely to be renters, right? So imagine you've been renting since you've been an adult, right? And now, as our last caller talked about, the fact that he's 33 now, he's been renting, and in many cases, what he's paying for rent would pay for a mortgage, depending upon what kind of, what kind of home that they purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I do think that it would work. That these new scoring models and including rent and bills are going to work in folks' favor. Of course, to your point, you do, just like any credit record, It it being favorable means you want to pay things on time, right?
Right.
That you want to pay things on time, and that you're going to want to be consistent, so that you can have the highest credit score possible, because that's going to allow you to get the best financing terms. One other point that I wanted to make as well is that I know, particularly for many folks who are first-time home buyers, they may feel like, that home that they wanted to purchase has gotten even more out of reach. But one of the things that I want to encourage folks to do, and it's certainly what my husband and I did starting out, like, would we have loved that big five-bedroom home in a great neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we couldn't afford to buy that. But what we did, our first home was a townhome. in a great neighborhood with good schools. And so one of the other points that I want to make, particularly for young folks who are just getting in, that what it may require you to do in order to get your foot in the door is not have that immaculate five-bedroom home, but have that three-bedroom townhouse that is more affordable. It may not have all the bells and whistles in. The most important thing you can do is to get your foot in the door. Because what that will allow you to do is no longer be a renter, become an owner, and for those payments that you're paying every month to turn into equity, as well as it, you have an asset that can appreciate in value. So that's what I want folks who are considering or who want to become a first-time home buyer, is to, you know, maybe reduce what you thought you wanted to get a foot in the door in spite of these interest rates. And hopefully these prices will come down and allow it to be more affordable.
Folks, this is free information out here from the wealth coach and author Deborah Owens. I mean, you can't beat it. And if you have any questions, give us a call, 202-319-7810. Oftentimes you got to pay for this information and this advice. This is the Insight segment. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue this conversation right after this timeout. Robert, stay right there, calling from Annapolis. We're going to get to you right after we take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about your finances and specifically credit reports, mortgages, changes in how your credit score will be reported. The FHFA has approved two new credit scoring models for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they say it should make it easier for those who don't have bank loan history to be able to access credit, and that especially could help in a positive way African-Americans who are looking to get some loans. Phone lines are open. Let's go back to those phone lines, and Robert is calling from Annapolis. Robert, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, how y'all doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I can switch off.
Nope, hear you fine.
If you want. Okay. First of all, I love this lady. I don't know who you are, man, but my gosh, I will pay for your help. I got a question as a small business owner. I kind of qualify for nothing, you know. I have a credit score of like 830. I've never missed a payment. You know, I just got a notification that I'm exceptional, but nobody cares if I want to go refi, because as a small business owner, you know, you look poor, you know, to you know, move your business forward, or it's kind of hard. You fall between the cracks. What do people do? I need help.
Well, I mean, I'm a small business owner, right? And so you have an 830 credit score. So do you pay yourself an income? I mean, do you pay yourself a salary?
No, I don't.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things I'm going to suggest then is that as a small business owner, what are you, like a sole proprietor or an LLC, and your account just does like a net profit and that's how you report things?
No, I'm a C-corp. And the way that I pay myself is through the property that my business rents. That's one of the means of income, as a rental income. So, you know, everything is as sparingly as possible, and I keep most of the money in the company. I don't really, me personally, because I'd rather reinvest my cash flow back into the business, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm not arguing that. But the truth is, though, in order for a lender, right, to lend to you, they're going to, you know, want to see your how you're going to pay them, okay? And so for you, what I would suggest is that you apply to a bank that understands small business owners, right?
Right.
And they're going to know how to look at your how your finances are structured in order to determine what your ability to pay, or in your case, you want to refinance an existing mortgage?
Well, I did, but not now, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, Robin and I are in the same boat.
Yeah, so I did. Like, well, you know, I'm actually in a good position because I have an adjustable rate from back in 2004 that can't really adjust anymore. So I'm kind of at the ceiling at 4.7, and I'm not crying about it. You know what I mean?
Would you want to refinance at this point, because here's the other thing, is that if you have a mortgage, did you say 2004?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so your mortgage is 20, so you're 18 years into what do you have? Is it a 30-year mortgage?
Yes.
Yeah, so the other thing, I'm so glad you brought this up. Because I think that what people don't understand is that you need to crunch the mortgage, crunch the numbers. And so in your case, you are like 3/4 of the way through. And in the early stages of that mortgage, you were paying more towards interest and very little to principal. And now you're paying more towards principal. So even though you're saying, oh, well, you know, I let those low interest rates get away from me. In your case, because of the length of your mortgage and the fact that it can't, well, wait a minute. So you have an adjustable rate mortgage and it's capped at the amount that it can go, that it can raise to now, that 4.75?
Yeah, I don't think it can move forward anymore. But also the other part of this is that I started out, as it was a first time home buyer, I had an interest only adjustable rate. And I was like, wow, you know, I got a beautiful property. My business is, you know, I have a architectural millwork company that's on the back 5 acres of the property. So it's been a gift from God, I'll tell you that.
Oh, but wait a minute. So you were paying interest only and no principal?
For the first 5 years, and then it kicked in where I had to start paying.
Very good, because you scared me there. I was like, wait a minute, you pay.
Yeah, no, I'd be a very old renter.
No, so here's all I would say. The good news, and certainly I don't know everything about your finances, right? Like, the good news is you've done a lot of things right, right? You got a great credit score. Of course, I cannot see a bank with that kind of credit score that you have turning you down as a lender. Are you saying that you want to get a loan and nobody would finance you?
No, I mean, I've called these mortgage places and, you know, I thought about this, that, and then, you know, I've got some money that I've saved. I'm a squirrel, you know, I'm very fiscally responsible. And I'm like, do I need the debt? Should I just pay off the mortgage? Should I pay $100,000 into it?
Why?
And just knock
you're
it down?
No. More than anything, you need to figure out how to leverage the money that you have. You are you only have 12 years left on your mortgage. You are getting some kind of tax relief because you're paying some interest, right? And that's one of the few things you can write off. I would say, why refinance it? You're in a pretty good place, 4.75 versus where things are right now. Not a bad place to be.
Well, Robert, it
where
sounds
located,
like.
Located, so I can.
Yeah, I was going to say, make sure it. Deborah give him your at least your website and your information.
Yeah, so the best thing for you to do is to go to let's see, you can just go to wealthyu.com. That's WEALTHYU.com, and that's how you can get in contact with me.
WEALTHYU.com.
Well, Robert,
yeah. And your name. Deborah.
It's Deborah Owens.
Deborah, thank you. I really appreciate it. I need a grown-up to help me.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Robert, and best of luck as you move forward in finding that bank that knows how to deal with small businesses.
I love the fact that he brought that up, because mm-hmm. what any of our listeners really need to do is, you know, we're looking at all of this information that we see, And we may think, oh, well, I missed out, or, well, I should have. But when you really take a look at your particular situation, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And that was a great example of that.
Yes. And Robert, great example of taking advantage of free advice over the radio with the expert.
There you go.
Good job with that, Robert. Deborah, before we leave here in our last few moments, President Biden, I believe he, unless he has stopped talking, I know his speech was scheduled for 7 o'clock tonight. And much of the speech, at least the aim of it coming from the White House today, was about, you know, election deniers and saving democracy. And we know the midterms are coming around. But we know part of the conversation and what many voters are saying is driving them to the polls is the economy. And so with this rate increase, is there a concern of a recession? We got about just a couple minutes.
Well, is there a concern of a recession? I would argue that we are already in a recession. Hmm. And a recession is when we've had two quarters of negative growth, which is what we've seen, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, here's all I want to say to the listeners is that the economy is cyclical. And what you know, we're seeing recession. We've already seen the stock market has declined quite a bit. So we are in a bear market. We can't deny that. That is when a bear market is when the indexes decline by more than 20%, and all of them are, if not at 20% or below. I mean, all you got to do is look at your 401k or your retirement statements, and you see that. But on the other hand, right, when interest rates go up, what it does is it makes other low-risk investments that are paying a higher return. So what you should be seeing is your interest on your savings account has went up, interest on money market accounts have went up, and also one of the other interest rates that have went up are bonds. And so what I want to encourage people to look at is what is at an advantage when economic cycles change, and that's what how you should be looking at what are the kind of smart money moves that you want to make with your money.
She is Deborah Owens. She's an author, a wealth coach, and here with a wealth of advice. If you want to get more information from Deborah or what she does and the expertise she has, go to wealthyu.com. That's WEALTHYU.com. She is the founder and CEO of that company. Deborah, as always, thank you so much. Fantastic segment tonight, and we always appreciate your expertise.
Thanks very much.
That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, November 2nd. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.